And welcome back to the Caffeinated Connections with your host, me, or also known as Caleb McCartney. I'm here joined by a wonderful friend of mine. I've known him 4 years. Crazy, right? His name is Frank Rocks, and he is one of the most talented videographers, cinematographers, and just people that I've had the pleasure to meet over the course of the 4 years that I've done. Welcome.
Thank you, Caleb. That was a very nice introduction.
Yeah, I feel like I'm always really proud of how we met, strangely enough, because I worked really hard just because, I really wanted to be a part of something. And I made an effort to, and I think that that's something we can jump off of.
Yeah. We put out an internship, right? That's how we first met, or was it a networking event?
Okay. You guys put a internship thing out my first semester, like my first few months at college. And I reached out to you guys because I missed the event, but I still reached out to you guys and I emailed y'all saying that I was interested. And then, you know, in the interview, but I was like, I wanted it. I wanted it so bad. I was like, I'll do anything. And it went from something that was just hypothetical to, you know, coming down to Pittsburgh to shoot a commercial with you guys, which was, I mean, younger me was just thrilled at the idea of it. And I learned so much and I can't thank you enough.
Yeah, that was a really cool shoot day. I think that was probably one of the coolest kind of first days an intern could have in a lot of ways.
It was next level. And I mean, I will always say I can't thank you enough because that taught me so many different things. That was a long day too. What, like 13 hours? My goodness.
Yeah.
I wish we would have been able to find the van keys a lot sooner. That would have been
too many jacket pockets, man. Too many jacket pockets.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, and we've just kind of been always kind of working with each other over the last 4 years since then. And it's been crazy. So like, you probably have a better idea how far I've come in my career in the last 4 years than most people.
Yeah. I mean, when we first met, one of the reasons why I hired you in the first place was because I think you had a keen eye. I think you kind of understood what needed to be captured because, you know, we all can take a picture, but some pictures speak louder than others in certain ways. But I liked your work originally. And of course, you know, we all have our styles, and I think that's important. Every artist has something. It's like a musician or a genre. It's like everyone, like all John Mayer songs have his vibe in a lot of ways, right? Or whoever. But like that, your work spoke to me. I liked your genre is how I put it. I liked your melody, and I thought, you know, in a few more albums, you might be a more popular artist. And looking at your work recently, you helped us out big time at the Pittsburgh Honky Tonk, its first ever block party. I can see that. While I still see Caleb in the photo, how, you know, how you frame something, how you shoot something, the angles that you like, you and me are different because I like wider angles. I like kind of bigger scenes and sets, but I think that's because I'm like from the video side and we're always trying to like capture everything all at once. A lot of your photos were crisp and clear and colorful and wonderful. And some of them were dark and moody, which are really cool. I think you take amazing black and white photos. However, like I think your like your genre, your cup of tea, your vibe, your aesthetic, whatever word you want to use, has a little more, it's riskier, actually. It's a riskier take because it's a little more cropped in my opinion. But that's just like, not saying you can't take a wide shot photo, Caleb, but it's been cool to see the growth for sure. I mean, really.
It's been a weird ride because I actually just recently went over some of the photos that I did for you guys all the way back for Voyage Visuals. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh my gosh, I delivered this. Oh, and they were happy with it. oh my goodness. Because I'm like, I could have just done this so much better, or just this angle, or I'm thinking about, you know, what I could have done, but you guys were still happy with it. It was like, looking back and seeing the reception that I got even then, and even now, it's nice to know that growth. Because I'll look back, I'm sure you, as a professional, you look at older work and you're like, oh, I could have done this, I could have done that, I could have, you know, we can think about all the hypotheticals of what we can and can't do, and we just kind of are like, okay, taking that into account and moving forward with it, because that's all we can do.
Yeah, and, you know, art, and, like, I always make the analogy that, like, the hardest part about taking a photo is showing up with the camera. It's like going to the gym. The hardest part about going to the gym is just showing up there. Once you're in the workout, once you get through the warm-up and your heart rate spikes, you'll be feeling a lot better. But, like, the hard part is driving there, getting out of the car, and going to the class. But, like, you have to show up, take the shots, look at the shots, be like, ew, and then show up again and change the things that you notice. And if you rinse and repeat that, you will get better. Like, it's all of these things are very, like, art, maybe not like the highest form of art, but the idea of creating art, it's really rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. You have to keep showing up. It's like building a muscle, you know?
And I think that's a wonderful way to say it, is it's a creative habit. There's a lovely book called Twyla Tharp. Anyone wants to pick it up, highly recommend, even if you're not a dancer. She's a wonderful, world-renowned dancer that puts together, she's put together the Nutcracker, the whole nine yards. And she wrote this book called The Creative Habit, which is quite literally, it will run you through some creative exercises. Very not just dancing, I promise. And it will teach you how to build a creative habit daily. Like, one of the things is it's like, go outside, go for a walk, and just look at things, take note of things in 10 minutes. Go out, look for things, come back, and write a story about them.
Yeah.
And it's stuff like that where it's the small, it's taking notice to things like that and training your mind in a way that sometimes we've never been trained before, because I feel like art classes and schools don't, I feel like they should do a more of a comprehensive job at making, right, not just showing us how to do art, but expressing and showing us our own individual whys we do art. Because I think as artists, the biggest reason for doing it is a why. Rather, it's a selfish or a selfless or a genuine reason to do it, because we enjoy it. And I don't know, I feel like I got taught how to do art oh so much, but no one ever told me, well, why do you want to do it? Or they usually, you know, they don't ask you that. They usually just kind of be like, okay, you're going to be in art class. Oh, you're, you know, it's a strange idea that I have, at least when it comes to just school and education and all that jazz. Because, again, I just graduated from Point Park, but I say that a degree is only worth what you put into it. So,
yeah. And I think, again, like, the you need the basics, you need the foundation. But once you have that, if you can do something blind, you're going to get really good at it. So, like, all of the stuff that you have to learn or you should learn, maybe you probably should learn it. Like, if it's in a textbook, it might not, you know, it might not make you different than somebody else, or like artistically. But like, if you can close your eyes and work the buttons on any camera, then naturally you're gonna be able to focus on the actual art that you're creating, and not like the technology that separates the artist from the artwork. Because all of us, you know, at least in our field, you know, we're using cameras and lenses and light. And once you can master that in some capacity, and maybe, you know, maybe no one's ever a real master, but like, once you have at least an understanding, like a textbook understanding of maybe what you should do or where you should start, then it gets really easy. Like, I think the hard part is the boring stuff. You know, it's like the intro page of every book. It's like, sometimes I get a book, and I like to read nonfiction, but like, be like a, you know, 40 pages intro, and it's essentially the author's like thesis, like, why I'm writing this book, what I aim to prove, maybe a rebuttal of maybe like why some of his data. It's like really like, oh, should I? And I'm like, I want to skip this, but I never do. And I'm always happy that I don't, because then I can go and look at the art, you know, the finished book with an understanding of what the artist was trying to do. However, it is boring.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And I feel like as someone that just wrote a thesis, the abstract was the most annoying thing to write and still read, because it's kind of like this, it frames everything. It is a frame of reference. And I think that I always say that not enough young people have a frame of reference. It's just always go, 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 go. But I feel like if you have a frame of reference, every time you're kind of going so fast, sometimes you lose track of the road. You can go back to that frame of reference and be like, wait, this was my intention. This was what I was going with. And I'm sure even as a cinematographer, you always have to have a frame of reference, even like in terms of a plan for what you're shooting. And you don't want to steer. I mean, sometimes you go off script because you're just in the moment, but you have to have a frame of reference, especially as a creative. Wouldn't you agree?
100%. But I do think, though, that sometimes, and, you know, I went into cinematography, then I kind of came out and moved over to the business dev side and the sales side. And I go back now, though, and I do it for fun. And like the company that I work at now, I really focus on sales and business dev. And I rep a lot of really amazing artists. But when I go back to be an artist, I'm doing it because it makes me happy. And I'm not saying that that the artists that I rep aren't happy, but I'm saying that like one of the reasons why I actually kind of stepped out of it was because I lost sight of what I was doing there. Like I didn't frame up the fact that I really, really enjoy this, but I enjoy this not as a profession. I enjoy this as something that makes me laugh, something that like is a great way to spend a Saturday. Like I like to write, I like to create, I like to shoot stuff. But when I added the client, it wasn't as fun for me. It really took out the motivation for me. Whereas I know a lot of guys without the client, they're the opposite way. Like they really, really enjoy delivering the final product and getting like having a happy client. Like that for them is everything. But for me, it was more of like a struggle in a lot of ways, because like part of me was in it and part of me wasn't. You know, I was thinking about sketches or skits, or watching like old YouTube videos and being like, I think I'd rather do this. But when you're stuck one foot in, one foot out, technically, you know, you position yourself in a way that might not be best for creating art. But now I take two steps in, and I'm usually, if I'm working on something, it's from the heart, and that's better for me.
That's very admirable that you recognize that for as long as you were in it, because I was very curious of that, because I saw you kind of shift in that role, and I was like, is everything okay? And I'm very grateful that you were able to figure that out, because I was in the same boat, very similarly at the same time, to where I was interested in that commercial idea and that commercial videography, commercial photography. And I stepped into it. And what I realized is, in the same right, at least with video work, I don't like making work for a client. I like making work for me. And then it just happens to just fit for a client, at least when it comes to video. And like, make it to have fun, not make it for the client, for the client's wishes in the client's way. Not to say that the client won't and will be happy if I make it the way. It's just not me. And whenever I do a lot of the photojournalism stuff, and a lot of photography that I've jumped into and I just, I guess, naturally was good with, and I didn't realize until my last year, it kind of just, I feel, it's kind of like you're in the zone. It's like a drummer or a musician. You lose track of time. Nothing matters, but everything matters. And it's just a matter of process elimination. You're just you're just doing it. You're just doing it. And then you get done, you're like, I just did that. Whoa.
Right. But that's a really good point. I think when you start creating really good art that doesn't have that doesn't have a purpose of a deliverability or, you know, if there isn't a client attached, you actually end up spending a little bit more time doing it. I think because obviously when you have a client, you put a price tag on it and you value your time and you do what the budget requires you to do in a lot of ways, especially as you get older. But when you're doing something for like for yourself for free, like when you're out there doing your photojournalism, you actually produce a really, really good product. Now, it takes longer because there's no one rushing you to look at the files. And, you know, the first three drafts might just be you, you know, pulling around, or you'll download a new software and you'll just click some buttons to see what happens. But it's really like exploratory when there's not someone like, hey, I need the thing next week. And then I think, though, people get attracted to you because you'll post your art, which you took probably 3 months longer than you normally would to create. But then it looks really good when it's out, and then someone finds you. So, like, it's a different way of going about it, because you can say, okay, I want to do commercial video, and then you can start knocking on doors. And then they'll say, well, have you done commercial video before? And this is that catch 22. And you're like, no, but I'll shoot your first video for free. Then you go down that road and you like live in that world, and you get paid nothing. And then you get paid a little bit more and a little bit more, and life goes on. However, if you go the other way and you say, all right, I have this thing here that pays my bills. I love video. I'm going to go shoot some great video and post it. Someone might pop up in your LinkedIn, you know, message and be like, that was awesome. Like, can you do that for me? And then you can say, yes, but it's going to cost you. Like, it's a really crazy world of how people find you or how you find people, and how the different doors they come through kind of determines the value or the worth of the art in a way.
It's really weird. Because, like, the way that you say that is, oh my gosh. I wish I could tell you half of the things on this podcast, what I did last night, because it was crazy, bro. I went in to a bar thinking, I'm going to go grab a drink with a new photographer that I met that was interested in my work. And apparently, he reached out to me because I added him on Instagram. But he shoots for a friend of mine that I've known for 4 years. And I reached out because I was like, okay, I sent an email out, but I also want to reach out on Instagram. Didn't say anything. He reached out to me, said, holy crap, dude, your work's awesome. And I don't say that to about anyone. I said, I have work to do, so it's not the greatest. And all of it's on the website, so I haven't posted a lot of it because I've just been on a hiatus. And I'm sure you know as much as I do, a hiatus is always great to take a break and like reel back everything in, just so that we could, like, I think the creative mind is a crazy mind, and living in a crazy mind gets to be exhausting. And I had to take a break. But the thing was, is he was people that I have gotten to a point in my life where I walk somewhere and someone knows me and I don't know them. It happened literally 3 days ago. I was at a after party that I was invited to by some friends. And this guy, he's like, wait, I know you. You look familiar. Wait, you stopped me and my girlfriend on the street in Pittsburgh and took our photo, and I still have it. And you've been photographing Obama and all those other people. Dude, you're crazy. I'm like, and this is in front of everyone at the party. I'm not even there for a minute. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I did. Cool. And it's kind of hard to be like, hear that out loud, because it's like, yeah, I did it. But it's like, he's like, dude, how the hell did you do all this? I said, pure ambition and a lot of caffeine.
Right.
And it's, you know, I run into these people that I don't even know that know me. And I'm like, how did you find me? Oh, it's like this person told me this person. And it's weird how easily people can get around in the city and how names travel so quick, so fast. Because again, I was at the bar the other night and I was with this friend that was interested in my work, and I was showing him how to crop things, I feel like cropping is okay, because as a photojournalist, like as a photo editor, I believe that if the crop, as probably a cinematographer, depending on how you frame the shot, it is going to tell the story a little bit better. And I was kind of showing him that, and he was able to understand it because some of his shots were really good, but they were not good the way that he didn't crop it. So I showed him it, and he was really receptive of that. And while I was showing him that, There was a pool game, and I've been playing pool since I was three. So yeah, I had a little step stool for a pool table my grandfather has, and I've been playing pool forever. I was like, wait, they're gonna get a pool game in. Maybe I can ask. So I played this guy in pool. Little did I realize the guy's a wonderful person. Hung out, like, invited me out. Had a great time. I don't think I spent a dime on drinks. Had a great time. And wow, I got a good time. And all it took was just all I'm going to say to anyone is all it takes is a question. Any question to any person that you may never know. Because you never know if it's the right question. Because if you don't ask one, it's not going to be any. And the worst answer you're going to get is probably a no. That's the worst you could ever get. And I stress this heavily because, me reaching out to you, I remember how excited I was. I was like, even if I missed it, I wanted to reach out. I was like, wait, Voyage Visuals, I looked at your guys' stuff that you did. I'm like, these are the guys. And I was like, okay, how do I not only sell myself, but how do I showcase myself? And I kind of just ran through it and showed up, and the rest is history, really. But it, oh my gosh, it was probably a break that I needed more than ever. Because ever since I went and got that opportunity, it was the biggest thing. Because I was the only freshman that had that, I came back to school. I was like, guess what I did? And, I showed them it and they were like, whoa, I had that under my belt. Not a lot of people my age had that under their belt. But what I've realized is it's competitive. The art field, photography especially, very competitive. Mm-hmm. And I encourage the competition because the thing is I haven't had much. And it's great because I can do a lot of things, but I encourage anyone else, when you're competitive, when you seek out opportunity at any opportunity, like, dude, I spend like 3 hours at least a day going on LinkedIn, reaching out to people, emailing and doing all different types of things.
Yeah, that's what it takes.
You can't just sit on the couch all day because no one's going to know who you are. The only reason people know who I am is because I go and tell them.
Right. You have to go out, tell it, you have to take a photo too. So you have to tell them who you are and you have to show them your photo. Like, because in the end, I mean, you can be personable. Like, there are a lot of great salesmen in the world that aren't creative, and there's a lot of great salesmen in the world that are incredibly creative. Typically, those salesmen like me work in the creative world, but we represent, what I don't want to say like the true creatives, but I do want to say that like we tend to represent those people who have taken, 10,000 photos, 100,000 photos. And that's all I think really the difference is. If you want to really, it's a long road. You go down this long, long road in the creative world. But like the art itself is subjective to the client, and the art itself is subjective to you and to your competitors out there, I guess you could call them. But the crews that like back up the artists, at the end of the day, we do want to help everyone out. Like, anyone on production sets are typically, or other production sets are not competitors. They're actually friends. And there's, especially in Pittsburgh, there's always a sharing of lenses and videos and drones and work. The artists, the photographers, and the videographers, they're teammates in a lot of ways. Because in the end, we're all trying to do the same thing, and that's create something.
I agree. And I have a few questions for you. First of all, what is the most important thing about being a creative? Like, whether it be payoff, the work, the journey, what is it?
You're saying what is the most important thing?
The most important thing to you being an artist.
This is going to sound corny, but I think it'll help someone who's maybe younger than me. I really think being honest, which you'll hear a lot, and being truthful in the work is really important. That it's like you hear, when I was like 10 years ago, I used to hear that a lot. I'm like, that's cheesy. Like that's something that like you'd see on like or, you know, read in a fortune cookie, like be yourself. But like, if you can figure out like your thesis, again, it goes back to like, if you can figure out why you're doing something, you typically make art that represents that thesis pretty, and it's pretty good. But if you pretend to be another artist, you know, if you see like, if you see artists in a magazine and you try to just be that person and replicate that art, it's going to come off as phony, because, you know, the guy you're replicating, he's going to do it better than you always. Now, you can borrow a little something here and there. You can get inspiration. But the most important thing is just to tell the truth. And like, if you do, people are going to like your art because they're going to feel it. And I really think that's what it's about.
That's admirable, because I learned that in my thesis, where I was trying to make something that I wasn't. And then I just did what was natural, which was I covered politics. Oh, my God. And then it just kind of came to, it truly comes to life. I mean, I feel like as a photojournalist and even an artist, I encourage that. Honesty is quite literally, if you showcase you, and I'm not quite talking literal you, if they're photos of you, by all means, they can be. But it is quite, if you put you into it and don't make anything up, you just kind of go with it, 9 times out of 10 you're going to come up with something so much better than if you were to try to be someone else. Or I mean, you can replicate, but sure, it's finding your own style, because it takes a while. There's trial and tribulation in finding a style, and that's even if you find it the first time, you are going to go through multiple processes of it. But yeah, honesty is far more important than anything. And the other thing that I want to touch on is, how do you take care of that creative bone in your body, that creative habit, and, you know, not falling into the, oh, I don't want to make this because I'm exhausted, or like the depression that every artist or chaotic falls into? Because I think not enough professionals talk about how to overcome that, how to deal with it.
Yeah, and I feel it too. Like, when you want to start something new, it's just like the mountain is so high, and it's like, how am I going to get up there? And then you keep looking at the top, and then you say there's no way, and then you just lay around for a couple of weeks and feel sorry for yourself. But I think in like, when you're at, it's like reverse psychology against yourself. When you're in that dark place, it's a great time to take a photo. When you're in that dark place, it's a great time to write a song lyric. It's like all, because you're really vulnerable in this like moment. So like, write something down, read something. Like, that's, it's almost like when you're making the art, when you're all sad, you're actually climbing the mountain at the same time. You might not feel like you are, because you're bummed out because you don't have the thing yet. Like, you know, you only have half a song and you got 14 more to go to have an album. It's too far away. It's impossible. But while you're sad about that, you might as well write something.
I love that. And it's very much where I'm at. Like, I've been in a bit of a semi-depression, and I'll be honest and say that. And what got me out was, okay, I am sick and tired of sitting here all day being sorry for myself. And I was like, okay, I live right by the Brentwood School, and I'm going to go up. There's a football game going on. I'm going to go photograph that. And what are they going to say? Worst thing they're going to say is no. And I said, I'm going to bring all my gear. Apparently, if you look official, they don't really care. and I just networked and saw the guy with you usually want to find the oldest guy there, because he's been doing it probably the longest and probably the best. So I just talked to him and just started shooting, and kind of got an idea of how fast he was shooting and stuff. But then I kind of just took it upon myself, and then I had to go. But since then, I've just kind of just used it as a leaping off point, where maybe the photos weren't the greatest or anything, but it got me out to do it. And
yeah. So like, you started your journey by being like, I'm going to go do this thing that doesn't exactly like, this doesn't seem like the path up the hill, but I got nothing better to do. And then we realized that, wait a minute, I just took a huge step forward by doing something while I was sad.
Exactly. And then it's turning this, I think it's, I'm a huge firm believer that energy is never destroyed. It's always, it's like potential and kinetic. I think that very much as an artist, we use kinetic energy, but we sometimes just need, I think, that little push. Like when we're trying to re-ride that creative bike, we need a push. Just a little push, but we still need to learn how to pedal. That's how fast we go in a direction, which is where we're going.
There's a huge difference between being depressed and being exhausted. Like,
I agree.
you can be artistically exhausted, but still have energy to go to the grocery store and hang out with friends and go to the gym and do your work, like, do your daily routine. And then you go over to do something artistic and you just feel just like wiped. But then there's also you being exhausted, like you not sleeping or playing video games all night, and then in the next day, so I think that you have to decide, like, am I sad because I'm not able to create the art that I want right now, or do I just need like 3 days of 8 hours of sleep? Like, we kind of, I think we get tangled up in our emotions a little bit, especially when we're trying to do something new. But all of this to say, it's like, yeah, even though I told you, like, to, when you're feeling down and sad, to make art, if you need a nap, take a nap. It's like, don't force anything. Like, you got to also just kind of ride the wave of whatever you're feeling too. Like, if those eyes are shutting and you're trying your best to edit a photo, probably not the best time to do it. Find your zone, right? You said your zone earlier.
Yes, exactly.
And your zone could be 3 in the morning, or it could, for me, my zone is like 8:30 a.m. I'm out.
Dear my. Oh, wow. That's rare. I mean, I used to be good at that. That was when I was doing politics. Since then, think I'm more of a late night owl than an early person. So that was something.
But that, yeah, there's a good point though. Don't then like don't get up, don't pop up first thing in the morning and sit down and be like, all right, now I'm gonna do these edits, because that might not be your zone. And now you're forcing it,
Exactly.
right? So
I agree.
get your sleep, wake up when you wake up. Don't, you're an artist, and when it comes, it's gonna come. Like, do what you gotta do. But this is kind of a different conversation, because I also would argue, like, sometimes you got to do your work when there's dirty dishes, meaning that like everything around you could be piling up. But if you feel like now's the moment to get this art thing done, this whatever this is that you're about to do, if it feels good, you can't worry about the dishes. Like, I feel like a lot of people would, they have this like this flash of like, oh, I have it. Then they look over and they're like, although I could get the dishes done, the laundry's kind of in a place, I'm a little, like, I'm out of grocery. And then you start like getting away from it. I think when it hits, no matter what situation you're in, you could be having a breakup, you could be out, your car could be broken down, but when you feel that rush of like, there it is, there's my first line, that's the next collection of photos I want to do, you better go and do it right then and there, regardless of what's happening around you, or you might miss it.
I agree. And I think one thing that I've been doing more is whenever I think of a photo and I pass something, I normally would be like, no, I don't need to do it. But recently, like since I've just been, I don't know, I always, if I think about something, I just do it. I just do it. Because what have I got to lose? And I think more people should, if they have a thought that's actually like reasonable, go and do it. Just, you want to go do it? Do it. What is it gonna hurt if it's a creative decision, go make it. Like, what are you doing? If you're listening to the podcast, go make it. What's stopping you? Is it the insurmountable achievement? Because, I mean, for me, it's oh, looking at the mountain and being like, but I want to get to the top. But the thing is as creatives, we want an end product. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. The journey on the way is so much more efficient and learning, because I can tell you, being a photojournalist and photographing all of those people, it was not about the end goal. It was about one step. It's small little rocks in a pond, and eventually you're all the way across the pond, or in this case, a lake. But you slowly you're looking at what's in front of you. not what's ahead of you. Because sometimes what's ahead of you is going to stress you out far more than what's in front of you.
1,000%. Yeah. So, yeah, to kind of wrap up those thoughts, it's me basically saying that, okay, you're an artist and you see the top of the mountain, you say that's impossible, and then you depress yourself. And then in that depressive moment, though, you go, you know what? I have this skill set. This might be the wrong path, but I might as well go take a photo while I'm feeling sorry for myself. And when you go and do that, you go, oh, that was fun. I remember that I like to do this. That mountain's not so tall. And then maybe the next day you feel better. But at the same time, if life is kind of wearing you down and you need a break, get your sleep, see your friends, join a volleyball league. And then one moment out of nowhere, your brain's gonna be like, I have to do this thing. And no matter what's happening, whether the dishes are high or the car's broken down or you have to skip volleyball, you're just going to go and do it. Because that's what a creative does.
And yeah, the other thing that I would leave, I have like one or two more questions and then I'll let you get going because I know you're busy. But it's, remember, for rather an adult, a kid, or someone older that's listening, you're like, you're still that little kid, sometimes just needs someone to care about them. And that is the same you that you grew up with. So in the best way, if you don't take care of yourself, that's like telling the younger version of yourself, you know, why should I care?
Mm-hmm.
When you should care about that child that you always will be and you always were. So I feel like most of us do like kids as how wonderful they are and how joyous they are to be around. So I don't have any problem with loving myself. But the thing is it's we often, as adults, don't love ourselves the same way that we should love that child we once were. So that is my... Go ahead.
No, I agree. That's great.
Because not enough of us give us the benefit of the doubt of being that same kid that maybe just doesn't know or just needs a little love.
Mm-hmm.
Because we make mistakes. We are still children. We may have adult jobs and adult responsibilities, but we are still children. And that's really what makes us creatives. But you also still have to be kind to that child. Because if you're not, it's not going to end well.
Right. All comes from imagination.
Exactly. So yeah, be kind to yourself and that child that allows you to have that imagination. That can be turned so much worse if you go to the wrong thing. But one of the last few questions I have for you is, how do you stay caffeinated with all the busy things that you're doing?
Exercise for me has actually been the best thing. So I do a lot of long walks. Actually, I think a walk is like a great way to boost your energy without being too strenuous on the body. I'll do like 3 or 4 miles, sometimes 5 miles. And it's like this great way to like clear your mind, lowers your stress. A long walk is very beneficial. Sunlight, all of that stuff. But even in the wintertime, even when the sun's not out, I still take that walk. And it just kind of like refreshes me, and I do feel more awake afterward.
Interesting. I meant like as a drink of sorts, like coffee or... I mean,
that metaphorically. I do love coffee, and the short answer is a hot latte is my favorite.
Where from?
I like Espresso Amano in Lawrenceville. And I love Georgie's in Shadyside. Georgie's makes a great latte.
All right. Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, I always love, as long as it's not Starbucks. We don't like Starbucks here. They're not allowed to sponsor. No, we don't take sponsorship from Starbucks. No, they burn their beans. We don't respect that. But I mean, it's nice to hear someone not say Starbucks. So I don't think anyone has as of right now. But no. Thank you for coming on so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. I think the conversation is nothing but great and nothing but natural. And I would love to talk more, but we're both very busy. So,
appreciate you. Go ahead.
Last thing, What are you working on, and where can people find you?
What am I working on? I am working on a couple of music videos for my alter ego. His name is Mary Richardson, and you can find his music on Spotify under Mary Richardson.
Okay, and anything else that you'd like to share with the class today?
No, Caleb, this has been great. You're a great host. I'm sorry it took so long. It's been probably the busiest year of my life in so many different ways, with work, with my friends all getting married this year. It has just been a roller coaster. So I appreciate you being patient with me, but then finding a time to get me on the show. And this has been great. And I just want to let everyone know who's listening that you take fantastic photography. I would recommend you to anyone. And thanks again.
Yeah, thanks again. And this is going to be a quick episode. Busy. As I'd say, who's shorter, but just as good. Well, thanks again. I think I forgot to tell you, who are you with? And, explain a little bit about yourself, because I don't think I gave that yet.
Oh, you mean like so I work for a company called Alchemy X. And I work in the sale, business development as a sales rep. And we do like gore, and we produce like set extension, gore, rain, fire, for like independent films, and even some popular TV shows like Marvelous Miss Maisel, movies like The Whale. So yeah, we do the entertainment visual effects.
That's for another discussion. But yeah, I completely lost track of that. That conversation was just that good. If you're interested in Frank, check him out on LinkedIn. He's on Instagram somewhere. And check out his music. I haven't heard any of it, but I think I did his album cover. So yeah.
You sure did.
Well, thanks again, Frank. And I appreciate everyone listening. You can check us out at Cafe Connect Pod on Instagram if I post on it. And otherwise, you can check me out at mcc_cal.com. And that's the new website. Just got redone. And the podcast is up there too, so you'll be seeing it there. Anyways, have a wonderful rest of all y'all's day. And remember to stay caffeinated. Bye-bye, guys.